Thanks, Darren. So, like Dan, I'm new to the oil and gas space in GE. My career has always been in the energy industry, predominantly in power generation. And prior to this role, I was actually based in Eastern Europe. So you've heard a number of things about Eastern European and Russian operations. So I just tell you a little bit about that because I think we've talked a lot about technology, our technology position, but there's something here as well that I think really plays to what GE does extremely well. So back in 2005, Jim Sushu and John asked me to go to Eastern Europe and really establish the operation there. And at the time, that meant also finding an office, setting things up. Our footprint was extremely small. First year of 2005, order intake was $278 million. By 2008, order intake was $2.2 billion. Today, after really the global crisis, we see order intake this year should be north of $2.5 billion and revenue over $2 billion. And it's a great example of how GE not just brings great technology, but actually the whole organization focuses around an initiative and drives the kind of growth that you don't see in many, many other companies. So with that, I'm just going to run you through, I think, some of the things that excite me about the subsea space coming into it afresh. And that is, first thing is, it's a growing market. If you look at the chart on the left, green is onshore. Everything else above that is offshore. By 2030, the projection is that 40% of all of the oil produced will come from offshore resources. Give you an example. We talked about 20% growth in subsea. If you take from 2012 to 2014, the bar doesn't look like it's growing very much at all. Okay, it's investing for the future. But that represents around about $130 billion of investment, capital investment into subsea technology. Today, based off of the business that GE has built, we can access $40 billion of that with the technologies that we have. So the industry really plays, I think, as well from a technology point of view to our strengths. Just to kind of walk you through the product portfolio that we have, trees really sit to start taking the oil and starting to manage the controls and the flow and bring it back into, back to the surface. The trees that you see there and the models that you saw outside, just to give you an idea of the size of these. The Gorgon tree, which is actually probably one of the largest gas trees ever to be manufactured, would entirely fill the space that's behind me. It would fill and go through the roof. And when you put the choke module on top of that, it would double the height. It's 80 tons all up weight, and it has to be deployed onto seabed with precision accuracy. So engineering tolerances have to be extremely tight, and then once it's there, you think of where these things operate. Shallow water tree will be somewhere in the few hundred feet. The deep water tree will be down, in some extreme cases, 10,000 feet. The other thing to think about when you think about this technology is what's going through it. So you have multi-phase fluids, multi-phase flow through here. You have waxes, gases. You have corrosive substances. You have serragas. So both on the outside and the inside, these are extremely harsh environments. Pressures and temperatures here, on the high pressure, high temperature, you're talking 10,000 PSI to 15,000 PSI, 350 degrees Fahrenheit. So these are areas that play to our engineering strengths, our material strengths, and also our ability to do life assessment and design for a 20, 25-year life of the asset in the field. The manifold, to give you an idea, wouldn't fit in this room and probably wouldn't fit in two rooms this size. So these are large assets that are deployed, as I said again, with precision accuracy on a field to make sure the field is optimized. Power and processing is an area where it's probably the smallest part of our business today, but I think you think of Dresser. Dan touched on this. You think of Dresser with flow control. You think of Convoteam. You think of energy management, power, processing, turbo machinery. These are areas that we can bring together, and with sensing, control, diagnostics, remote monitoring and diagnostics, we're able to actually organically grow a power and processing business that many other companies couldn't do today. And that's an area which is part of the currently unaccessible area for us. So we will grow that business and look at how that goes. Controls is a great platform. You know, you think of being able to manage the asset, look at the asset in the field. This is something that gives us the ability to deploy sensing, and really the kind of the main expertise we have from remote monitoring, diagnostics that you see in the gas turbine world, and what Vic talks about with the wind area. So thinking of these being really highly mission critical, these, you deploy these, you do not want to see them again. What you saw with Vic and really the engineering rigor that GE brought to the wind industry, we're doing the same in the subsea industry. I would have had a picture, like a movie, of the hyperbaric chamber, but it doesn't really move very much. And trust me, you don't want it to move very much. So, but the thing that we can do now, and we're the first really in the field to do so, is we fully function test a controls module before it goes into the field. So it sits in there. You can see it goes down to 4,400 meters. Take 10,000 meters at 3,300. We can overpress anything at this point in time. We can fully factory acceptance test this before it even goes in the field. And really that flows onto the other side. When you look, we have best-in-class reliability and operability once it's in the field. And that's something, in the short period of time I've been with the oil and gas business, it's something I hear very loud from our customers, that they see that as a differentiation. The other thing I'll say is, if you think about this, if you have to pull one of these back, if you have to do well intervention, pull a controls module back, pull a choke module back, take a service vessel out there or a rig out there will cost you between $200,000 and $500,000 a day. This is something you don't want to have to do. So it's extremely important and valued by a customer at this point in time, the kind of rigor that we're bringing into this area. Dan mentioned the aftermarket opportunity that exists today. What's on here is actually the GE installed base. So these are the things, these are our controls, these are our trees, these are our manifolds that are out there today. If I take the European area and think of that, trees, there's over 2,000 trees in the North Sea that have been there for 9+ years that start to require maintenance service. That's an opportunity for us to go back at. We're already retrofitting controls and taking our competitors' controls out and putting new control modules in, and we're actively doing that at this point in time. And then if you think of the growing markets in Australia, in Africa, and in Brazil, we're investing there and putting a footprint there that allows us to be close to the customer and allows us to make sure they get the speed, the responsiveness, and also allows us to qualify where we require local content. The other thing that you can do when you look at this is we can put a service facility into Western Africa, we can put a service facility into Australia, and we can leverage it across many different parts of our organization. So it's not a subsea business by itself taking a risk on P&E that it's putting on the ground in a remote location. This is somewhere that we can take turbine machinery, we can take the power generation business, we can take other parts of the GE industrial organization, and they can use the same facility, the same footprint. It allows us to leverage, basically, that facility, minimize the cost, and maximize the utilization. So I think it's been a very short run through, but hopefully it gives you an idea of really the opportunity, and I think really why this is a space that plays to GE's strengths. So with that, I'll pass over to Sam.